lift him up. Hallelujah. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're living in the hour that we need to do more exuberant praise than we've ever done. Amen. Hallelujah. Step out of the box and worship. Give God all the praise that you can give him. You may be seated. Amen. It's great to be in God's house today. Hallelujah. No better place I'd rather be than in the house of the Lord. Amen. There's always the sweet presence of the Lord that just gives you a peace when you're here, when you're in his presence. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn to Matthew 22, 35 through 40. Matthew 22, 35 and through 40. We're going to begin 35. It says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest, the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Turn to Deuteronomy 10. Begin with verse 12. Verse 40, it begins, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Then And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God. The earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord hath had a delight in the fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Amen. Today, I'm going to talk to you about how can I please God? How can I please God? How can you please God? Amen. That's our everyday thoughts. We want to know, am I pleasing God today? You know, what am I doing in my life today? Is it making God happy? You know, if we make God happy, if God's pleased with us, then life is good. You know, it's a blessing that just knowing that you're pleasing God. Amen. Yeah, depending on how your relationship was with your earthly father, it was a desire to please your dad. You know? It's just something within us that wanted to please our dad. That's all we want to do. I just want to please. You know, make you happy. You know? I don't want you yelling at me and screaming at me and all that. I just want to make you happy. Well, that's why we ought to look to God. God, I just want to make you happy. I want to do what pleases you. Because I know when I do that I'm in the will of God and you are for me. And I can do anything then. The scripture from the very beginning started out in Genesis with God walking and communing with his created companions, man that he made. He made a man and he communed with him. And he saw that first Adam needed a help. Thank the Lord, man. God saw that we needed help. Amen. And he created a woman, a wife, a companion for us. You know, we were created in the likeness of God. So God knew that we needed what he needed. He needs somebody to talk to. He needs somebody to share his life with. He needs somebody to just have be his companion. Genesis 2 and 18. It says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." So once God saw that man was created in his image, he made for man what he wanted for himself, a companion. God wants to be a companion to you. Amen? Above and beyond, if you're a married, your mate or your friend or your aunt, uncle, whatever is closest to you, God still wants to commune with you. And God wants that relationship every day. He don't want it just once a year on Christmas or Easter. He wants it daily. He wants to be able to know what you want, help you with the things in your life, and you know what he wants and help him with what he wants of you. God wants to just be with us. He wants to be our friend. And it is his ultimate desire for that to take place. But God's only requirement for fellowship and conversation was obedience. He just plainly gave them something to obey. It boils down to choice. Choosing to obey or not to obey. And that's the beauty. You may think, well, God, you had all those angels and you had all that, you know, you created in the heavens and the earth, and you know, who knows what he's created. But he did. He created them to do specific things. They had no what was called choice. They had no choice to make a decision that I'm going to walk with you and I'm going to talk with you and I'm going to be with you and please you. That showed God that, man, there's a relationship. There's a love between us, because you don't just do that because somebody's making you do it. You do it because you want to. Amen. I wouldn't want a relationship that the person had to love me because somebody was making him, or some law was making them do it. But they wanted to love me because they love me. They just want to be with me. That makes all the difference in the whole world. When your relationship is reciprocal, it's both ways. Love into each other, and you can have that ultimate life together, knowing that each you care about each other. When that's not there, it's a miserable time. And you're like, oh, you know, this is bad. If man that God created for his pleasure and companionship could be obedient, they could have fellowship. Because he dealt with this in heaven, with his created beings that rose up against him and decided they wanted to be God. And they wanted to make the decisions, and they wanted to rule heaven. And God stomped that out immediately. There was no way, no room for that in his kingdom. Disobedience. And so he got rid of that problem. And now he created a being that can make its own choice. So this was a small task to ask of his creation. Very small thing to ask. He gave them very specific instructions. They were created as perfect as any human has ever been. If they're in a perfect, everything's perfect, that means their mind is fully accessible. Everything in their mind they can do. He named all the animals, and there's a ton of them. You know, the man had magnificent brains and could, you know, do many things with his mind because it was perfect. It was without blemish. There was nothing wrong. Amen. I so much wish I had that, a fraction of it. Amen. To where I can retain and understand and just my mind. I know the capability is in there. We all know that. But here is the first created being, human being, was fully accessible in his mind. Everything he needed to do, he was able to do. He had to take care of God's creation and the garden and talk with God. That in and of itself takes a lot of understanding to be able to carry a conversation on with the Creator, with the one that has intelligence above and beyond anything anybody could ever imagine. So the most thing that they could do was just be obedient. Adam and Eve was the only, they only had one rule to obey. And obeying this rule would keep them in fellowship with God. Simple, don't eat of that tree. Right there. Everything else is here. You can have it. It's for your pleasure. It's for your good. And I imagine at that time there was probably everything in the world in that little garden. Every kind of fruit and fruit trees and that you can think of, flipping through your books when you're planting and all that, looking at all the wonderful fruits that are out there that you can grow in your backyard if you can get them to grow in this weather, were available to them. But one thing, don't eat this. And the intelligent being was deceived to do what God had said not to do. Up until that point, there was great fellowship with God. God met with them daily and conversed with them. The answer to disobedience to God's word, amen. The answer, we can be overcomers and show our God how we love him by being obedient to his word. Amen. We have it written down. They weren't so privileged to have what God said written down. Maybe Adam forsook his part of relaying to his wife Eve what God really did say. I think he might have added to it a little bit. And that caused her to think, well, why do I not even need to go near it? And it caused her to be inquisitive and want to know, or just like to look at it, you know. It's important that we don't add to or take away from God's word, that we just simply obey. Amen. So many times we fuss, and so many times we try to disprove what the word of God is saying. We spend Brother Pritt has talked about this many a time, how people, it just, their heart is bent on disproving what God said. That is a spirit, my friend, that has overcome the church world. They are bent on disproving this word rather than just simply obeying. And having, they say they want relationship with God. They say they want God to do all these wonderful things that are in His word. But they spend all of their time trying to disprove what it really says, rather than just obey. See, my friend, it's not hard to live for God. It isn't. It's just simply getting up, putting one foot in front of the other, and following what His word asks of us to do. Obey. Obey the word of the Lord. And great things happen. You have one-on-one communion with the Creator. God can speak to you. God can put the gifts of the Spirit inside of you. And you can be effective in His kingdom because you're speaking directly to the Creator. And He's telling you where to go, what to say, who to say it to, how to say it. All of those things, you have one-on-one direction from God. God, throughout all of Scripture, was moved to relationship by their obedience to His word. All throughout the Old Testament, He would speak to the prophets or the man of God and say, "Thus saith the Lord, go here, do this, don't bring this back with you, do this." And it was just simply, they had to obey. If they obeyed, man, great things happened. Half the time, they didn't even have to go to battle. God fought for them. It was like they could just sit back and watch God do it, because they were obeying what God said. But when they did not obey, horrible things happened. Loss of life, loss of freedoms. All those things. They found themselves in bondage when they chose to just simply not obey. And sometimes, like Adam and Eve, was the simplest little thing. A garment and a few shekels, and didn't even use them. Hit them in the ground. But just because they just didn't simply obey, God turned Himself away from them, and they lost the battles that they were trying to fight. Amen. I pray today that we can keep our minds on Jesus and simply just say, "God, take out this desire in me to disobey, to be obstinate, to be against Your will and purpose and Your word." When I read this word, I'm like, you know, I'm just saying this as a whole. You know, we may think that way, that when I read this word, I just cringe because I don't want to do that. Why? When God has all the pleasures you need in life, and He says, if you'll do seek me first, my kingdom, then all the things that you desire, all the things that you want, all the things that you want to happen in your life will be added. It'll come. But just simply follow me and obey me. I believe it's having a spirit of obedience. Amen. We can have a spirit of disobedience. And I believe a lot of that is bred into us by our upbringing, how we were raised, how we were brought up in life. And sometimes we have to forsake some of that and realize that was not right. Because if I line up with the way I was raised according to this word, it doesn't line up. And so I can find myself in truth and crucify my flesh to say, now you just got to bow to some things, because you want relationship with God, this is how it's going to happen. God wants to talk to you. He wants to share with you. If you're having trouble finding the will of God in your life, maybe check where you're at spiritually in your obedience to God and to His Word. Go back and sit down and take a look at how you've made decisions in your life and how you've done things with people. And are you being obedient to God? This is God's love language. Obedience to what He says to be done. That is the greatest thing that triggers God's emotion toward us. Is, are you obedient? I can work with you if you're just obedient. I can help you to become, if you have that spirit of obedience. It's hard to work with somebody that doesn't want to be worked with, that doesn't feel that they've done anything wrong, that doesn't feel that they are able to mess up. They're perfect. They dot all their I's and cross all their T's, and they're just like a computer. Like a laser guided, you know, in through life. Nothing is out of place. It all is perfect when it's done. My friend, that is a spirit of disobedience, because I am nothing. He is everything. And I've got to have a spirit that says, God, search my heart. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Search me, Lord. And just live that way. Just live that way. That, God, if you can find something that I'm doing that's not pleasing you and I'm being disobedient, reveal it to me. Having that attitude that you may not know of something that you're, but ask God to reveal to you. Just have that wantingness to make sure our relationship stays together. It means so much to God. When you follow His instructions and don't fuss, cuss, and complain, God will walk with you and protect you. He'll do all the things He said He'll do. You'll have great things. You'll go great places. You'll talk to great men. So the Old Testament is filled with stories of God giving His people specific instructions to follow, and He would be with them and He would fight for them. Obey me and this will happen. Disobey me and that will happen. So we can simply see that if we want to please and make God happy, we must obey what His Word says. It's just simply that. What keeps man from fellowship with God is the sin that we committed, or is the disobedience, or it is the disobedience to turn from that sin. 1 Samuel, God is looking for a companionship. That's what He wants. He just wants to have a relationship. One that's a good relationship, not a bad one. God wants to have a relationship with you. Amen? He only requests obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22-23, it says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, He hath also rejected thee from being king. King Saul had directly disobeyed the word that Saul, that the prophet had told him. Samuel the prophet had told him, God said to utterly destroy everything, people, cattle, spoils, everything. Don't bring anything back. Burn it. Get rid of it. Saul, in his stubbornness and rebellion to do what he thought was right, failed. And not only did he fail by not doing what God had said, he failed when the man of God came and revealed to him that he had done wrong to repent of it. That's what I'm talking about, a spirit of disobedience. You can have just plain old disobedience and not do something that God says, but when it's revealed to you and you choose even more to disobey, there's a spirit behind that, my friend, that we got to get out of our lives. Because why are we here if we don't want to obey God? We're wasting our time. We're literally wasting good, precious time if you're not interested in being obedient to God and doing the will and purpose of God. Amen? Saul, in his stubbornness and rebellion to do what he thought was best, failed to repent of his sins. He, even after being confronted for not following God's instructions, laid the blame on someone else. Those people were the ones that brought all that back. What are you going to do with them? He said in chapter 15, verse 21, he says, "But the people took of the spoil, sheep, oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." I believe God is not so much concerned about the mistake happening or as the trespass or the infraction taking place. He is deeply saddened when we don't want to take ownership and repent from our mistake or trespass or infraction. That crushes the heart of God when we're confronted and we choose not to turn from the Lord, from our action, turn from our sin, and turn to God. So we see this in King David, a different way of life. David was being lax in his responsibility as king to go out to war with the men of war. And David found himself idle and complacent. He saw a woman bathing on a rooftop, and lust for her drove him to sin with her. The end result was she had a son, and he had the woman's husband killed to cover up the sin with her. It was when he was confronted by Nathan the prophet of his sin before God that he repented and turned himself to God's mercy. What a different contrast. What a different spirit. God knows your humanity. He created it. He understands your frailty. And so if we have a spirit that is looking to do what is right, I believe God is merciful. And his mercy extends to us. 2 Samuel 12, 7 through 14, it says, "And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And If that had been too much, I would have moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee, and out of thine house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto the neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this sun. And thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. See, when you choose not to follow God, you're not hurting just yourself. God may be merciful to you, but he's going to take vengeance on you. The consequences of your sin will still be carried out. God has always, for the sake of a relationship, turned from his wrath when man admits their mistake and their trespass or infraction or their disobedience. If they will be obedient, if you'll just turn to me and do what's right, I can fix some things in your life and you just won't die. Man will always be sinful, but man doesn't always have to be disobedient. We are born into sin. God understood this and made man a way to escape the separation of sin and disobedience from a holy God. Amen. It was by one man's obedience. Romans 5 and 18. It says there, in verse 18, it says there, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So through obedience to the words and works of Jesus Christ, we can delete the sin and receive the power to not be disobedient. You might say, well, I can't help myself. I can't quit doing that. It's because you're disobeying the voice of God and saying, receive my spirit into you, my power. And when you have my power, then you won't do, you'll have the ability not to do what you couldn't do before. If you'll get the sin remitted, if you'll call on my name, and if you've never been baptized, get his name applied on your life. Once that's applied, then when you make a mistake, when you do an infraction to God, you mess up, you say a wrong thing, or you do something that displeases God, you can call upon the name of the Lord. That blood that was applied in baptism comes over your life again. God can't see the infraction, the sin, the mess up, and therefore he's back into your life, relationship again, and you can have the power to go on and not make the same mistake again. Amen. God loves us so much that he didn't just send what the world calls a son that was in heaven, little old boy running around. You go down there and take on the sins of the world so that all this can be cleaned up and I can have relationship. No, he created a son. Amen. In the womb of Mary. And he said, my spirit is going to get inside of that body and is going to walk around and experience life as you experience it. And I'm going to understand you more. But what I'm doing here is going to give you power so that you don't have to be bound by the sin and disobedience of life. You can rise above it and be holy as I am holy, because it's what I'm going to do that's going to make you righteous. Woo, that's a powerful thing when we really get a hold of that. And that will keep us from getting discouraged in our lives when we can call upon that name, when we know we're not in right standing with God, and get God's presence back in our life. Amen. And allow the Holy Ghost, allow his spirit to speak to us and talk to us and say, get that out of your life. Don't let that be a part of your life. Let me be there. Let me be in your life. Let me show you how to deal with that relationship. Let me tell you how to walk. Come on, God's trying to speak to us. He's trying to say, I want to walk with you closely. And if we don't need that in this hour, we need to be close to God in this hour right now. We need to have that where we can hear his voice. Amen. He's coming soon. Through obedience to the words and works of Jesus Christ, we can delete sin and receive power to not be disobedient. We cannot on our own refrain from sin that was put on us by one man, Adam. But by the blood of Jesus Christ, it remits it. Amen. It completes it. It's gone. And we can have power through the power of the Holy Ghost to walk without doing that thing that caused that infraction. It was what God did through the man, Jesus Christ, that made you righteous. So when we obey the words of Jesus, when he instructs us to follow and obey his chosen disciples' words, many people forget that in their walk to God. That God had some instructions for some men that he chose. He picked them, hand-picked them. Walked with them, ate with them, slept with them. He was with them daily. And he instructed them, here's my plan. I want you to carry it out. And I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to pray that others will receive what you're about to receive through your words, through your actions. And the world as a whole has missed that and has chosen not to obey that and has chosen to try to they weren't God, they weren't Jesus, so I don't have to listen to them. So we need to obey what God has instructed. John 7:37-39, it says, in the last days, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, is that the end? He that believeth on me, and that's all you got to do. Just accept the Lord and be right. No, he specifically said, as the scripture hath said. The word of God has instructions to allow you to believe on me if you do it the way I instructed. out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So it was something they were getting ready to receive. How can I please God? When I am obedient to the scripture that was written. 2 Timothy 3:16. And it says, All scripture. Every verse, every jot, every tittle, everything is given by inspiration of God. In other words, God spoke it and said, you write it. I'm watching what you're writing. I'm not going to let you make a mistake. You're going to write what I want you to write. Inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Means what we believe, for reproof, for a correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So I cannot throw out a scripture because I refuse to believe and obey because it doesn't fit my narrative. And that word narrative simply means a story or account of events, experiences, or the like, whether true or fictional, fictitious. We cannot take scripture and fit it to justify our disobedience to the voice of the word of or the word of God. The question today is, how can I please God? We must first make sure that we have believed on Jesus as the scripture hath said. It's not enough just to believe. You have to believe as the scripture hath said. That implies that there is more to believing in Jesus than mere mental assent. I believe that most of us understand that here today. That we know that there's more than just a mental thought process to coming and obeying Christ. But if you don't, you can walk in that obedience today by following the plan of salvation. We can be made righteous every day by obeying the words of Jesus in our text. And he will not allow us to get caught up into self. Because you'll love your neighbor as yourself. That's that person sitting across the aisle from you. That's that person that dumps his leaves in your bushes and trespasses on your property and all those things that you can't stand in life. And you'll love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your might. Jesus Christ's blood remits the rest where we fall short. Amen. I don't line up all the time, but I've got a God that paid a price for me so that I could have relationship with him and get that mess cleaned up. Have that spirit of God. If I've done wrong, I want to repent and I want to get it out of my life, and help me not to do that anymore. Let the power of the Holy Ghost that he's given us, his spirit, to help you walk. If you'll walk in that, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You will not go and say the things that your flesh wants to say because you're walking in the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is controlling you. I'm trying to hurry here real quick. Matthew 22, I know we're over, but oh well. 22:37-40. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What spirit do you possess? The spirit of Saul that says, I don't care what you say, man of God. I'm going to do my own thing and go my own way as I see fit to do for my life. Or will you have the spirit of David that says, I have sinned against God, against the Lord. And he said this also in Psalms 139 and 23. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. How can I please God? Walk in obedience to the voice of God and obey the written word of God. It's hard to obey something if you don't read it and find out what it says. Pleasing God is figuring out what pleases him. Let's stand. Let's go our way. Amen. Go refresh yourself. Thank you for allowing the Spirit of God to speak to us today. Search your hearts. Search your lives. Make sure your lamps are trimmed and ready. Amen. Jesus is coming. God bless you.